Hello, Tom.
How's everyone doing?
Great.
All right.
Running on day four and still awake, so I think we're all...
I think we're all high on coffee and sugar at this point, pretty much.
Are you guys catching red eyes out tonight, or are you leaving tomorrow, or what?
From around here.
From here.
You're all local. Yeah.
I'm totally local, you can tell, right?
Yeah, you look like a typical New Yorker. In San Diego, everyone's from somewhere else. I forget that people actually live in New York. It's not
San Diego is like a stage production. Comic-Con's over, the whole town just shuts down.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a ghost town.
Everyone's on that train up to L.A.
So we were talking to Dave before, and I was asking him about, he was really passionate about stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked like Wallace Gromit. Any other influences that for you in regards to bringing them to the show and what you grew up sort of, you know, aspiring to be?
Well, you know, we all grew up reading comic books, which is probably the most important thing for this show. But as far as stop motion goes, like the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials that they made in the 60s, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, that those are sort of the touchstones as far as stop motion goes for me. There's something really... visually engaging when you have real objects moving in front of a camera as opposed to drawings. And I think that's why those kind of crappy looking specials from the 60s are still so beloved today and are on every year and people haven't forgotten about them. It's something about the medium. And we found that on Robot Chicken as well. It's like, there's just something, like even when our jokes are flying by and you don't even get half of them, I think our audience still finds it entertaining just to watch these, you know, sometimes action figures right off the shelves dancing around for real.
Doing crazy, crazy shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it that you would want audiences to know about your character while going into the show to experience it for the first time?
I think I would just want to, you know, tip them off that there's more to this big, hulking, stupid, strong character, you know, the stereotypical comic book monster hero, than you will immediately be aware of. And I think that that's sort of true of all of the characters that Zeb and Matt created. There are layers to them that you wouldn't expect on a show this stupid, which is sort of what, it's sort of our dream as far as writing a show. It's like to get to be, you know, really broad and slapsticky, and then get to have our cake and eat it too as far as, you know, when it's time to dig deeper down into those characters, there's actually something there. And there's actually something there in all of them. And it'll play out over time.
Tell us about the character Brad.
Well, he is an addict. And, you know, all addicts are trying to fill a void. And, you know, his void is sort of what's interesting about him, and you'll find out as the season goes on what's driving him.
What was the inspiration behind him?
A lot of these characters are just the superhero stereotypes. If you're going to put a superhero team together, it's like the quickest, you know, even a child who's, you know, read his first comic book could put together a team and know that there's supposed to be, you know, a big, dumb, strong character and a sexy cat girl and a patriotic hero and on and on. And so that's where Brad comes from, is he's filling a role in the most sort of basic superhero lineup. And what makes him fun is... yes, he is exactly what you think he is at first, but then, like I said, there's more to him later on.
Can you talk about, like, performing in the booth and performing the lines and what it's like to do animation?
Mm-hmm. What we found on Robot Chicken is that there's not a lot... When you're looking at these puppets, there's not a a lot of room for subtlety. You always have to be bigger and louder than you think. There's a reason that all those 80s shows sounded like people were just shouting in the booth all the time. And it's because your attention starts to wane if you're watching something that's not real people. Archer is sort of the exception to the rule, where they get those really nuanced human performances. Bob's Burgers is good at that too. But on a superhero show, you have to be big and loud. And so I blow my voice out. Zeb makes me be really gruff when I'm doing the voice. So Brad is really always down here. And, you know, half an hour of that and my voice is shot and my throat hurts the next day. And I really wish we had gone in a different direction. But it's too late to change now. But it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of room for improvisation and changing lines on the spot. And, Zeb is not beholden to, he doesn't find his own work all that precious. And so if you can come up with a funnier line, he's all about it, which is great.
Seems like we're building toward, or there's more emotional depth as far as these characters and what Robot Chicken fans would be used to, because we get to examine them on a longer time frame. Is that something you think is going to surprise fans of Robot Chicken going into Super Mansion?
I do think they're going to get attached to these characters in a way they've never been attached to any of our recurring robot characters. Like, our Robot Chicken nerd is sort of like the most fleshed out, and even he is just the most stereotypical nerd. You know, the protruding front teeth and the giant glasses and the tape on the glasses, that kind of nerd. There's nothing to love about the humping robot character or the mad scientist character, because they're just meant to be placeholders, really. They're stereotypes. And I think viewers of Super Mansion are actually going to... I think these characters are going to be... they're going to want to latch onto them in a more permanent way. The reason there's not a lot of Robot Chicken merchandise is because, you know, if you hold the mad scientist action figure in your hand, you don't know what's going on in his head. He's sort of cool looking, but he's one note.
Right.
And these characters are, you know, let's just say we're looking forward to the merchandising.
Is there going to be merchandising?
I've got to imagine there will be. I've got nothing to announce. They haven't told me anything. But I can't imagine that there's not going to be opportunities for it if the show catches on.
Cool. Was there any part of the process of making this series that really surprised you in unexpected ways? Whether it was a pleasant surprise or a more unpleasant? Something that was just...
Well, there's this lesson that we sort of have to learn over and over in making Robot Chicken, where we sit in the writer's room and we're really sweating because we think as soon as we're done with the script, that's as good as the show is going to be. And if the scripts aren't good, we're all in trouble. And then, so we do our best on the script, and then it goes to the puppets and the sets and the storyboards and the animatic and the animators. And every step along the way, it gets better. And so with Super Mansion, it was like, okay, this is, you know, the scripts are making us laugh. It's pretty good. And then every step of the way, the artists who work for the studio have made it better and better and better. And when we watch the pilot now, there are shots that are so sort of great. Like, if you're not a stop motion fan, maybe they wouldn't stand out as much, but there are these, you know, shots with the camera moving that are really kinetic, and there's just sort of these beautiful action shots that we would never take the time to do on Robot Chicken, and so it's just like every time I've got to see the where we are in the process, it's a better show than I expected.
Yeah. people don't realize the amount of time that goes into making something. They had no idea, like,
that average Joe was. Well, because it's, people remember claymation, they remember Gumby, it feels like something children are making, it feels like because they're toys, that there's not a lot of art going into it sometimes, unless it's Corpse Bride or Nightmare Before Christmas or Paranorman. It feels really homemade, but there's actually an awful lot of hard work that goes into it, and it takes forever to make. Yeah, a robot. I think we're up to like 18 months for every season, which is pretty long.
Do you have a favorite? So obviously we've got the crew in the Supremes. We've got. We've been introduced to a couple of the villains so far. Do you have any favorite side characters or kind of one-offs that are going to show up that, you were really like, oh, that's a great idea, mm-hmm. That's a really funny concept?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do was, Zeb early on had the idea for the Omega Pet. That episode's been on already, right? Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm not sure. I've only seen the pilot. And I know there's two out beyond the pilot.
Is Thursday coming, maybe?
I thought they were going to drop three episodes at once.
They did drop three.
Okay, so I think Omega Pets is on Crackle right now.
Okay.
But there's a squirrel character who ends up being a very villainous squirrel character. He's sort of cute, but at the same time, he's very malevolent. And so they throw him down in the basement where they lock up all of the superpowered villains. And I thought it would be funny if every time we saw him, he's outraged that they're breaking the Geneva Convention. They won't provide them lawyers. It's sort of Guantanamo Bay down in the basement. And I thought it was sort of funny for him to actually have a very strong legal point that the heroes completely ignore. And so every time we go down into that basement, I love hearing what the villains have been doing to pass the time. I love that the squirrel is really outraged that he can't get on the phone with his attorney. And that's sort of the, in a comic book you wouldn't think twice about where those villains are locked up. Like Superman's always throwing them into the Phantom Zone without a trial, that kind of thing. And so that's sort of what I love about the show is getting to think about the reality behind those big comic book situations.
Right. Yeah, I think we're going out. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.